And we're really excited that Amy is being baptized this morning. And Amy's going to come up and tell her story now and share with us how she came to know the Lord Jesus. It's all right, Amy. Can everyone smile? See, everyone's smiling at you, Amy. It's okay. It's all good. It's all friends here. Go for it. It's all right. Take your time.
Hi, my name's Amy. I've been coming to church for about a year now. I was born in Brighton and raised in Lewes. I had a fairly Catholic upbringing with going to Catholic primary and secondary schools. We attended Catholic church every Sunday, and I can and with it being close to my mum's heart, I volunteered to be an altar server. And I can safely say I hated every second of it. I used to go and stand at the front of the church, following Father Richard around and listening to him talk for what seemed like forever. It got to a point where I would try really hard to listen to everything he said, because I knew when I got back into the car to go home, I wouldn't remember a single word of it. I would wonder why all the strange rituals he did, like the incense he waved over us, or the Holy Communion, which was locked away in a secret box at the back of the church, never struck a chord in me. All these people coming to be close to God, confess their sins and be forgiven until next week seemed worlds apart from me. Nothing ever got through or made me think. It went in one ear and out the other, and it became something I literally just did to please my mum. It got to the point where I would actually beg her to let me do chores around the house just so I could get out of going. This was my first experience with religion, and from where I was sitting, it wasn't a good one, or one I wanted to be part of. Not because I felt strongly against it, but for the pure fact that I felt nothing at all. And it wasn't from the lack of trying. It's only now that I can look back at the amount of time I spent in that church or at church clubs or at school studying the Bible and actually admit I learnt nothing. I mean, we had lessons on it every single day at school, and I couldn't tell you one memory I have from them. It didn't mean anything to me. So from then on, I went to live my life like any other non-religious person and never thought of God or Jesus again. I moved a few times, had a couple of children, and after a few hardships, found myself as a single mum living back in Hayward's Heath. My little girl had just started going to school, and that's where I met Hayley Nichols. I remember standing in the playground and watching my daughter Violet and this other little girl scrapping over a pair of sunglasses. As I walked over, I saw Hayley had quickly resolved things and our girls were back to being best friends again. She introduced herself and we chatted, and it probably took her about three sentences in to tell me she was a Christian and invite me to church. I wasn't overly convinced or enthusiastic about the idea, but I'll be honest with you, I wanted to make friends, and I wanted Violet to make friends, and I thought church people were a safe bet. So Sunday came, and I was ready for my first experience at Christchurch. I hadn't put too much thought into what I was going to hear or what sort of things were going to be preached, because I was expecting it to be pretty similar to my earlier experience of Catholic Church. I very much had the attitude of, yeah, I know who I am, I know what I'm about and why I'm here, it'll be fine. So I came in, found Hayley, we sang, and then the kids went off into their groups and everyone sat down, listening intently to this man who stood at the front of the church and introduced himself as Mark Bentham. I had never heard someone talk so enthusiastically about the Bible or the love of Jesus and God or each other, a stark contrast from the dull and dreary Bible readings from when I was younger. After only a few minutes, I was listening hard, and it wasn't just because he was a good public speaker. I was genuinely intrigued by the things he was saying. I found myself not knowing some of the things he was talking about, but so eager to learn and almost frustrated when he referred to things he'd previously spoken about, and I didn't have the Bible knowledge to nod along with everyone else. So he finished up, I collected my children, spoke to a few lovely and welcoming people, and that was that. I went a few more Sundays and was enjoying it and making friends and learning more about the Bible until then Hayley invited me to Ladies Bible Study on Wednesdays. It was quite hard going the first few times and I was full of so many questions, mostly about things that had nothing to do with our current topic and poor Roz constantly struggling to bring me back on point because all I wanted to do was debate with anyone and everyone. So many things didn't add up and didn't make sense, but for some reason I couldn't stop coming or asking. This lady's Bible study is where I got to know Mia Andrews. Mia is the most kind and loving and devoted, strong Christian woman I've ever known. She is calm and warm and thoughtful and respectful, pretty much everything I lack in myself. At that moment we met, we were in exactly the same situation in our personal lives, but at completely different ends of the spectrum. By all rights, she should have judged me, looked down on me, disliked me, and even shunned me. She saw something in me that was struggling, and lost, and whether it was the Holy Spirit in her or the fact she's a wonderful person, probably both, she took me under her wing and made it her job to counsel me and be there for me. It has only been recently that I've been able to look back on the things we spoke about and the advice she has given me and realise how incredibly hard it must have been for her to go through that with me and support me. At that moment in time, I was still unsure of who God was and the work he was doing in my life, but I simply could not accept that I had met this woman by chance. Something or someone had brought us together for each other. Through Hayley and Mia, my life quickly filled up with more and more amazing Christian women, such as Alexa and Bea, who welcomed me with open arms and showed me more love and acceptance than I knew what to do with. With the support and encouragement of these women showing me what true friendship means, I felt every time doubt crept in or the temptation to slip back to the way I used to live, they were always there to steer me back to Jesus. Mia then let me know about a course on Wednesday evenings called Life Explored, being run at the time by Graham. I did my usual wanting to debate with anyone who would talk to me, mostly Jim Jacobs, and just threw question after question at Graham. Each time he would answer with something that made complete sense and would shoot me down in flames every time, which naturally just infuriated me more. Again, it's only now I can really see how actually offensive some of the things I was stating and asking truly were. As I was getting the answers to my questions, it was becoming increasingly apparent that the way I was currently living was not good. At the time, I was in a relationship with a man who was married. He had a wife and was not yet divorced. This was a relationship that, in my eyes, I'd fought very hard for. I felt I had had a lot of wrong done to me in my life, and in a strange way, almost felt justified to have this man because I deserved happiness. A very warped way of thinking, I'll admit, but that's what I used to tell myself. The more I spoke about Jesus, God, and the Bible, the more I started to feel strange about my own life, and what I wasn't willing to admit to myself was that this strange feeling was actually guilt. I was not willing to admit the questions I was asking I already knew the answers to, and that I was starting to feel convicted because I didn't want to change my life. It got to the point where I would actually ask questions for the pure sake of asking them. I didn't want to appear to know the answers and then be asked, what am I going to do about it? I knew I could go one of two ways. Keep asking my pointless, empty questions in the hope that this nagging feeling would subside and I could just coast around the edges of Christianity, going to all the functions and having all the friends, but without any cost to myself. Or actually admit I knew what was happening. I knew what was being asked of me, and I knew exactly what I had to do. God was practically screaming in my ear, but I couldn't look him in the eye. On another course called Christianity Explored, I remember asking Steve Mills a lot of why questions. Why is there suffering? Why is there evil? Why did God put the tree of knowledge in the garden in the first place? He waited for me to finish my barrage of questions and said to me, quite frankly, I had no right to those answers. God is God. He allows us to know what he wants us to know, and everything we need to know is in the Bible. We have no right to anything else. I was speechless, not because Steve had offended me, which I knew he was worrying about, but because it just made so much sense. That was the clarity and harsh-talking answer that I needed. It was during this time that I really felt the foundations of my relationship with God were being laid. After a few weeks of me continuously pestering Mia to organise a trip to the British History Museum, on the hottest day of the year, baby twins Vivian and Roxanne in tow, only being 6 months old, we headed into London. Although I already had a strong belief in everything I was being taught, seeing something physically in front of me, which is historical evidence that not even a non-Christian could dispute, cemented my faith in God. That evening, before I went to bed, I found myself for the first time praying to God. I wasn't asking him for anything, and I wasn't thanking him for anything. I was simply saying sorry. Sorry for denying him all this time. Sorry for not living my life the way he wants. It wasn't like it was a conscious decision to say sorry, and it wasn't something I had planned. It's really hard to explain, but it just happened. This was at the point I knew I was a Christian, and with that, my life needed to change. So I had the awkward conversation, which ultimately ended my relationship, and it really, really sucked. I've had a few people say to me, are you sure you're a Christian and you're not just doing it to be accepted by your friends and peers? And I had not been going to church long enough to fully know God and understand the gospel, and I was asking for baptism too soon. They are mostly right. I do not fully know God yet, and there is much more I want to learn to even grasp the complexity of the Bible. But from where I'm sitting, giving up the things I did was no easy feat. Although this relationship wasn't perfect and full of sin, it was an integral part of my life. He had a good job, a nice house, a nice car, and he paid for my stuff. He would have wanted me to move in with him. I wouldn't have had to have worked, and I wouldn't have had to be out there doing it on my own anymore. I know this all sounds incredibly materialistic, but to a single mother who has been on their own for a long time, working and trying to be both mum and dad to two small children, these are very attractive qualities and extremely hard to walk away from. Not to mention the fact he was actually my boss too, so I would in turn have to quit my job. I also cannot deny the fact that I did care for this person. We had been through a lot together, and to walk away from that knowing they can't understand the reasons why was tough. But that was that. So there I was, free from all my sinful baggage, my heart open and ready to receive the Lord and everything in my life to become wonderful and rosy and perfect. And again, did it suck when I actually felt worse. I had given in to what I knew was right and listened to God's active presence in my life, and I actually felt worse. It took me a long time to grasp that being a Christian isn't the easy way out. Jesus opens up the darkest parts of you and makes you take a long, hard look at all the wrong, that is all that is wrong with you. For a long time in my life, I have struggled with not feeling good enough. Not good enough for my family, for my friends, or for my children. And I know 1,000,000% that I am in no way good enough for Jesus. But in his mercy, me not being good enough is okay. Me being exactly who I am is okay. It is because of this unconditional love and forgiveness and acceptance he has shown me, I am here wanting to get baptized. I know I have such a long journey ahead of me, and this is just the beginning, but with the support from God and from my church family, the more I will continue to grow. Thanks.
What a great testimony to hear how the Lord worked in Amy's life to bring her to the point that she's at today. Thank you, Amy.